So as I announced just a minute ago, wanted to make sure I have on the recording, we are going to be canceling part C for the lab just so we have a chance of actually finishing the lab within the allotted number of days. So let me say this twice, because first time did not work this morning for some reason. You only need to do one recrystallization, and you need to do that one recrystallization for the combination of the benzoic acid from parts A and B. Now, since one of the indirect goals of this lab will be to figure out, well, how much of each of the compounds was in that unknown for part A and for part B, you should go ahead and measure out the mass of benzoic acid separately in part A and part B. No water bottles in lab, please. And Neutron, yours as well. So, what is the source of benzoic acid in part A? The hydroxide extract, the aqueous layer. What is the source of benzoic acid in part B? The bicarbonate extract, because benzoic acid is the stronger acid, and so it will react with bicarbonate, the weaker base, but naphthol will not. I can already tell that in the different sections, there are several of you all that don't know what is the hydroxide extract. Where is the neutral compound? Where is this compound? As I'm seeing people flip the layers around. If you're unsure, you can ask, but I would say go back and review your pre-lab so you know where each compound is. For part A, we've already covered that a couple times, but part B, just again to make sure you know, when you start off with that ether and the three compounds, all three compounds dissolve in the ether. When you add in the bicarbonate, you'll form two layers. It is not true that the bottom layer is always water. It's not automatically water. It's because water is more dense that it happens to be the lower layer. And since we're only using ether as a solvent, an organic solvent, that's why it's always on top. So when you add that bicarbonate, the benzoic acid that's in there will get neutralized, become more ionic. It will go into the lower aqueous layer, which you then drain out. You'll be left with an organic layer that has two compounds in it. So after you reach that point, you add sodium hydroxide. It will react with the weaker acid, the naphthol. That will then go into the lower aqueous layer, which you drain into a separate flask. So you have two aqueous layers, one that's bicarbonate and one that's sodium hydroxide. And those will now contain benzoic acid and the naphthol, respectively. You'll be left with an organic layer that has just the naphthalene in it. So again, the benzoic acid from the two halves, from A and B, measure that mass separately, but then combine those to do a recrystallization. Now let's talk about the technique of recrystallization, because I would hope that you can get through that recrystallization today. If that means you have to put aside the other layers for the moment, then that's okay. But the reason I'm saying that it'd be good to do recrystallization today is so that the benzoic acid that you produce can sit around and dry out over the weekend. So that one, you get an accurate final mass of your product, but two, we're going to be doing melting point as a way of characterization. And if you did a melting point right after you recrystallize, you're still going to have water stuck to the compound, which is going to affect your results. So better let it dry out over that whole period over the weekend and come back and finish up on Monday. So recrystallization. Not sure exactly how it's explained in your lab text. I didn't check, but I've got a method that I've used the past several times that I'm going to recommend that you use. First, if you had an unknown compound, you'd have to figure out a solvent or a mixture of solvents that has ideal recrystallization behavior. For an ideal solvent. See, the whole point of recrystallization is we're trying to remove impurities. But you also want to be able to get your compound back out again. And what you're going to do is dissolve it and then make the crystals form again. So if you're dissolving it and you want to make sure it comes back out, you'd hope that at room temperature or at the temperature of an ice bath just below room temperature, that the compound effectively has zero solubility. And then at high temperature, close to the boiling point of the solvent, you'd want to have nearly infinite solubility. That way you can heat it up, dissolve the compound, the impurities stay behind in the solvent, you cool it down, and all of it crystallizes back out, your compound, that is. But in real life, it doesn't quite work that way. You won't have infinite solubility when it's hot, and you will have some non-zero solubility when the solvent is cold. But that would be the ideal solvent. An ideal solvent is a solvent in which the solute has effectively zero solubility at or just below room temperature, and nearly infinite solubility near the boiling point of the solvent. In reality, there will be some solubility at low temperature, which means the minimum amount of solvent possible should be used.
What is what? Room temperature. Room temperature.
So, in reality, the solute will have non-zero solubility at room temperature. So the minimum possible quantity of solvent should be used. Yeah.
Just to, I think I'm a little confused. The ideal solvent will have zero solubility, meaning it will be like created in this.
Well, we're not talking about two liquids. We're talking about a solid. For example, your benzoic acid. If you want to recrystallize, that means dissolve it and have it crash out again.
Oh, okay.
And so you want it to crash out at room temperature, but be soluble at high temperature. It will still be a little soluble at room temperature, which is why you have to use as little solvent as possible, otherwise you're just going to keep on dissolving away your compound. Now, did I mention what sand baths are to your section?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So I would recommend using a hot plate and a sand bath, and you're going to use two different either beakers or Erlenmeyers. Erlenmeyers I like a little better because you've got some constriction at the top, so if you have splattering, you got less chance it's going to splatter out of your container. So in one of your containers, or an Erlenmeyer for example, put your benzoic acid, the compound that you want to recrystallize. In the other one, you put the solvent, which for benzoic acid, we're going to use water. You might say, but water, benzoic acid's not soluble in water. That's the point. But there is something special that happens that when you heat water up, then benzoic acid becomes soluble. So that matches closely what an ideal recrystallization solvent would be. The reason you want to heat both of these up is, again, we're trying to reduce how much solvent we're going to use. So what you do is when you get to the point where your water is almost to the boiling point, transfer maybe half a milliliter or a milliliter of that water to the solid. Now, you might wonder, wait, is that going to be too much water, or how do I know how much water to use? Well, many of you are internet savvy, and you know that you might have this instinct to Google anything. Well, I bet you if you Google benzoic acid 100 degree water, you'll find what that solubility is. So if you're really worried about how much water should you need, look it up. Now, when you transfer that water over, there's a few possibilities of what might occur. One, the solid might all disappear. It might dissolve. If that happens, that means you've added enough solvent already and don't add any more. Another possibility is that even with stirring, maybe the solid won't all dissolve. Well, that means that you need to transfer a little bit more, stir it up, let it heat up again, and keep on doing that until you reach the point where it does dissolve. And that last little bit where it barely all dissolves, that means you've used that minimum amount of solvent that you should be using. There's a third possibility, though, because if you get your hot plates hot enough to boil water, it may be hot enough to melt the benzoic acid. That's not a problem, but then when you add water to it, instead of looking for a solid dissolving, you might be looking at two layers in that case. If you have two layers, that means the benzoic acid's melted and won't dissolve yet in the water. There's not enough water around. And so in that same case, you would keep adding little bits of water until just barely the point where everything goes into solution. So, small quantities of the solvent, and again, for this one, it's water. Should be transferred one at a time. To the target solid, what you're recrystallizing. If the solid dissolves, enough solvent has been added. If it doesn't dissolve, repeat the process until it does. And then I'll put in this note, watch out for immiscible layers. Which means melted but undissolved solid is present. Does anyone have any questions about this portion of recrystallization? And I'll say it one more time. You've got solid, you want to dissolve it. You've got the solvent you're heating up. You don't just dump a bunch of solvent over, because then you might have used way too much, which means, one, maybe you won't get all of your solid back, or if you really added too much, you've just now made a solution and you'll never get your solid back until you evaporate all the solvent. If you did that, you'd get your solid back, but then you've got all the impurities left behind. So you defeat the whole purpose of recrystallization. So you transfer little bits at a time. Because you're physically picking that solvent up with most likely a pipette, it's cooling down for a moment as you transfer it. So you wanted to give it a minute to heat up and then try to dissolve it. I recommend against using stir. stirrers, the hot plates, to do the dissolving, I'd do it by hand. Which, if you're going to do it by hand, you really, it would be best for you to have a real spatula. So instead of one of those scoopulas that some of you have, make sure you have the actual thin rod type of spatula. Questions? Well then, once you've dissolved it, you need to cool the solution down. First, let it air cool to room temperature, and then put it in an ice bath. And this is for two reasons. Generally, if you more slowly cool something, the precipitate that forms will have larger, more easily isolatable crystals. And so, I don't know if it was after recrystallization or what, but I know that the previous section, they got all worried because some people were getting benzoic acid that looked like crystals, some were getting that looked like powder, and some were ending with something that looks like a paste. All three are possible, depending on how did the crystals form. So let it cool down in air first, then put it in an ice bath to maximize how many crystals you get. And then, just like you did the very first time you collected benzoic acid, you're going to use a Hirsch funnel. So transfer everything over to the Hirsch funnel, and then you can wash your crystals with a small portion of water. So let me write this much down. After dissolving the solid, allow to cool first to room temperature. Then place the container in an ice bath. Collect the crystals with a Hirsch funnel or on a Hirsch funnel. Then wash with a small portion of cold solvent. As I probably mentioned for part A, if you use too much solvent, you're just going to be dissolving your stuff if you keep on adding. Why use it in the first place? Well, that last little wash can help pull away the last bits of water-soluble impurities that you might have sticking around with your compound. So one more time, let me summarize. You have five layers total that you're playing with. Two from part A, three from part B. The hydroxide layer, which is the aqueous layer in part A, has the benzoic acid. The organic layer, which is the layer with the neutral compound, that's naphthalene. For part B, bicarbonate layer is an aqueous layer. It's got the benzoic acid. The hydroxide layer in part B has the naphthol. And then the ether layer in part B has naphthalene. I'm saying this summary because I would request that you not come ask me, wait, which samples do we recrystallize? Because I've now said it two or three times. If you're honestly confused, then I'll answer your question. But what was happening this morning is as soon as I answered the question, no, it's in this layer. The next person comes up. No, wait, which layer is it in? And then the next person comes up. Which layer is it in? Maybe the topic's confusing. Maybe I should give you all a break. But maybe they weren't all listening through the lab lecture either. Possible. I know listening to me for an hour on end can get boring. But does anybody therefore have any questions about what's where or what you need to do? Just to emphasize, no, don't do your melting points today. You won't have time. You're not even going to do a melting point for the naphthol or the naphthalene, but you do need those masses. Question? That is correct. That That is exactly correct. We are combining the benzoic acid from part A and part B to do the recrystallization, although get those separate masses first, and then all the other compounds, you need the masses, but you're not recrystallizing them, and you're not getting melting points. Yes?
What's that?
Part B, you're going to collect the benzoic acid from the bicarbonate layer. After you measure that mass, combine it with the benzoic acid from part A and do the recrystallization of that combination. For the hydroxide layer, which is going to have your naphthol, you need the mass of the solid, but you don't need to recrystallize, you don't need to do a melting point. And the naphthalene, the same thing for either part. You need to isolate it, get the mass, but you don't need to do recrystallization or melting point. Yeah? I would recommend just a few minutes. The question was asked, should we air dry the benzoic acid from part B? Well, in order to get an accurate mass before recrystallization, yes. But I wouldn't wait till next time to do the recrystallization if you have time today, because we do need to do melting points on Monday as well. So maybe 5 or 10 minutes, let it air dry. I would understand that's a rough mass anyways, and in real life, we would use the purified compound to establish our yield anyways. You can put it in the oven, but both the benzoic acid and naphthalene have the potential to sublimate. So if you heat them too strongly for too long, you're not going to have any solid left. And when you're heating off your naphthalene layers, by the way, if you start seeing crystals, very fine-looking, very shimmery crystals form, and they start forming up the sides of your flask, that means that you've heated away all the ether, you've melted your compound, and it's now sublimating and recrystallizing its own self. So that means take it off the heat and stop it.